Let him go!
This is Buccaneers Total Access, with head coach Dirk Cotter.
Fire the cannons!
Brought to you by Frontier Communications. Fios keeps you in the game. Visit FrontierFlorida.com to join the team.
Winston looking left, goes a deep route toward Mike Evans. He hangs on! Touchdown, Tampa Bay! Mike Evans goes up and takes it away from two defenders. What a great throw by Winston!
Now your host, Bucs insider Casey Phillips, and head coach Dirk Cotter.
Welcome in there, Tampa Bay. We're excited to be here for another week of Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Cotter. And you know that this show is all about you getting to ask him whatever is on your mind. Bunch of different ways to submit those questions. You got hashtag Bucs Radio on Twitter. You have the Bucs app under the feature section. And you've also got the phones. Hillsborough County, 813-990-4620. Pinellas County, 727-461-4620. And the toll-free number, 888-546-4620. Coach, how are you doing tonight?
I've been hearing you the whole
there
time.
There we go. Tonight. All right, Coach, we can finally hear you. I'm a little bit nervous now hearing that you were listening to me the whole time. I don't know. How did I do? Correct me on anything I was wrong on.
I think you should just keep going for the next 60 minutes.
I don't know about that, man. We are very excited to hear your thoughts on it. My thoughts are based solely, hopefully, on your thoughts. So, all right, before we get too far into this, I know that you had talked to me this last week about we had some unfinished business from last week that we had a caller ask you about some reality show potential for guys on the team. And I know that one was, you weren't prepared for it and you had some time to think and you came up with a really fun answer, in my opinion. So what was your answer to that of who you'd want to see on what reality show?
Yeah, with time to reflect on it, I think we definitely need to see Chris Baker on Dancing with the Stars.
I don't know that there's a single soul out there who would disagree with you on that one, although as Gerald put it in Hard Knocks when he saw it at one point, that he was glad it was on HBO. It was a little X-rated, so we'd have to get Chris to calm down a little bit for the regular version. But I thought that was a great response on your part. We want to make sure we got that in there for the fan who asked it last week. So, all right, Coach, now that we have you, we have a question here from Aaron on Twitter. He said, what's the hardest part of coaching two games in 4 days? Keep up the great work, Coach.
Well, the hardest thing is definitely not the coaching. The hardest thing with the two games in 4 days is the recovery for the players. That's by far the hardest thing is, a lot of times after a Sunday game, these guys are still feeling sore as late as Wednesday. And now you're talking about they have another game the next day. So I'm just not sure they can recover fast enough. And there's been a lot of talk about that since Thursday Night Football came about is, we know they want to get NFL football on TV. That's all well and good. And the good part of Thursday Night game is you got a mini bye, so to speak, on the backside of that. But it's just tough for the players to recover.
Yeah, that's actually really interesting. We had a question from John who wanted to know, how much do you factor in the number of reps that guys are getting, knowing that you have to play two games back-to-back? Do you have to play the same guys just regardless, this is the game plan, or do you factor in that side of things?
No, you can't do that because every game is so important. I mean, you only have 46 guys up on Sunday anyway, so, I mean, this week, our 100% of our focus is on the Giants. I mean, we'll worry about the pay. Go over to the office Sunday for the Giants. But until then, I mean, for the Patriots. But until then, all of your focus is just on this game here on Sunday.
All right, we got a question from Corey, who says, tough loss last week, Coach. I worked during the game over here in Japan, but I got to watch it work online. Look at this, Coach. We got fans all the way over in Japan. And he says, like you say, it's a one-week season, so what's your thoughts on the Giants' defense? And as always, I'll be watching again on Monday morning. Go Bucks.
Yeah, appreciate that. Corey, appreciate you going to the trouble to try to follow the Bucks all the way over in Japan. And yeah, we didn't play good enough or coach good enough last week, but you can't keep dwelling on it. I mean, you can't let Minnesota beat you twice. I mean, we have our hands full worrying about the Giants and what they bring to the table, and what they bring to the table is a lot of really good football players, two excellent defensive ends, three first-round draft picks in their secondary. Landon Collins, one of the top safeties in the league. Eli Manning and his two Super Bowl rings. Excellent core of wide receivers. So those are the things we're dealing with this week. And, you know, we have to figure out how we play better as our team and then how we try to take advantage of what the Giants do and don't do.
All right, we had a question from Richie. He said, good to see D-Jax get that touchdown. Do you think this is the beginning of he and Jameis really getting that chemistry figured out?
I actually think Deshaun and Jameis are in pretty good shape as far as their chemistry goes. Deshaun has done a really nice job of, you know, as a veteran player, he's done a really nice job of bending what he does to try to fit in with our system and what Jameis does. I'm really pleased with what Deshaun's done in that area. And, you know, Deshaun had a great chance for another touchdown on the interception in the first half. You know, that play was wide open, and Jameis just got to throw it out there, and he will. The second touchdown in the second half on the go route, that was a beautiful throw by Jameis and an excellent catch by Deshaun going up over the DB and then getting his feet down in the back of the end zone. So I think the chemistry is fine, and I think they'll continue to grow the production.
All right, we've got our first caller. We have Ward from Brandon who has a question about Jameis and audibles. Go ahead, Ward.
Hey, thanks, Casey. Hey, Dirk. Good to talk with you again. My question this week is, with Jameis Winston, how much freedom does he have at the line to, call audibles based on the coverage? And, you know, after a rough game like last week, does that change things at all?
No, it doesn't change things. And Jameis has a fair amount of freedom to audible at the line of scrimmage. I mean, some plays that we have are what we call it and run it, meaning that we feel like that play's got a chance no matter what the defense does. A lot of other plays are packaged with something else, like if the defense does this, Jameis should go to this. If they do this, do this. And Jameis does a really nice job on that. You're trying to set the game plan up so that Jameis doesn't have to check very much. And if you're right in that part, then he doesn't have to check. But when you're wrong, Jameis has the ability to get us into a better play, and he does a nice job of that. The second thing you got to remember is defenses in the NFL, their disguise is really pretty darn good. And so a lot of times it's hard to tell exactly what the defense is doing until after the snap. And then, of course, after the snap, it's too late to audible. So all of those things factor in. But, yes, Jameis has freedom to audible a fair amount of time, and he does a good job with that.
All right, some great questions already from the fans. We still have plenty of time with Coach to get all of those in. We'll remind you one more time how to do that. Send those tweets in using hashtag BucksRadio. You can also submit them in the Bucks app under the feature section. Or here are your three numbers if you're in Hillsborough County, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620, and the toll-free number, 888-546-4620. This is Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Cutter, brought to you by Frontier Communications. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Brought to you by Frontier Communications. Now continues with head coach Dirk Cutter and Bucs insider Casey Phillips on Tampa Bay Sports Radio, 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
Welcome back in, Tampa Bay. Glad to have you here with us on a Friday afternoon, and we want to get to all of your questions. You can keep sending those in. Use that hashtag BucksRadio on Twitter. You can do it on the Bucks app in the feature section, or you can give us a call here. And, Coach, we got a question from Rob. It's pretty interesting. Time out. How do you think it's different preparing when you already have the injuries that you know during the week as compared to getting an injury in-game? What are the different challenges of each of those?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Obviously, when you know ahead of time what your injuries are, you can compensate the best you can to try to account for those injuries. On game day, when guys, unfortunately, it happens, guys get hurt from time to time, and, you know, when that happens, you're scrambling because, you know, on game day, you don't have your whole team with you. You only have 46 guys, and you have to make some crazy adjustments. That are a few years back, You know, most teams only dress seven offensive linemen for a game. When I was in Atlanta with Coach Smith, we were playing a game against the Vikings, ironically, up in Minnesota against the Vikes, and we lost two O linemen in one game, and we had to finish the game with our tight end playing right tackle for like 30 plays, and that's not fun. You know, that's not a fun thing to do. So when you know what's coming, it's much easier to adjust. When you have injuries in game, you know, you've got your contingency plans, but it can be a scramble at times.
I love this question. Chris wants to know, he says, I was honored to be a part of the first ever training camp takeover with the Stick Carriers, where they presented you with a Godfather painting. My question to you is, where is that painting now, and go Bucks?
Well, as we speak right now, that painting is sitting on a chair in my office at home. And when I walk in that office, I usually have the lights off, and it usually scares the crap out of me. I'm going, what's that guy doing here?
That's pretty great. Maybe now you know how your guys feel when you walk into a meeting after they've done something wrong. All right, so Dennis has a question. Coach, I'm sure you've heard this question before, but I have never heard the answer. So what are the different and similar traits between Winston and Matt Ryan?
Different and similar. Well, I'll start with similar is they're both tough as nails. They're both extremely intelligent. And they're both great competitors. The difference is, the main difference is experience. I didn't get to coach Matt until like his fifth year, so you know he already had a lot of experience. He already had 100 games under his belt. So you know Matt is over 30 now, and you know Jameis is 23 years old. I'd say that's the main difference. I would say that you know Matt has the edge in experience. Jameis is probably a little bit more mobile than Matt and makes a few more plays with his feet. But, you know, obviously Matt's been the MVP of the league, and that's something that Jameis would love to do at some point in his career.
All right, we've got another caller. We have John from Sefner who has a question about touchdown celebrations. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Coach. First
hey, John.
I just want to say that long-time season ticket holder, and I'm going to have all my friends. We're going to do operatic vocal warm-up so our voices don't give out trying to out-yell the Giants fans that'll be there. But my question is this. Odell Beckham's touchdown celebration kind of took things to a new low, and it seems really selfish that a player would do things like that knowing they're going to get a penalty. And my question to you is, what's your opinion on that, and how do you curb it on your team?
Yeah, that is a good question, and you know, I think the players are really excited that they are now allowing them to use celebrations. But the league put out a very clear video on what is and what isn't allowed, and anything directed at your opponent, anything you know that's obscene or profane in any way is going to be flagged. So I agree. I think any player that you know would do something like that, knowing they were going to get a penalty, I think that is a selfish act, and you know I would be very upset with the player that did that, and you know I'm sure there were players on the Giants that weren't too happy about Odell doing it last week, and you know he makes a lot of great plays and he scores a lot of touchdowns. Hopefully he doesn't do any celebrating this Sunday in our stadium.
That's right. All right, question from Justin. He says, I think this run game will be in fine shape to tear up the Giants. Is there any specific Giant that you've seen that has shown great run game disruption?
Oh, yeah, run game disruption, of course. Olivier, number 54, their defensive end. I mean, he really plays the run well now. He's a little banged up this week and hasn't practiced very much, but he's a guy that's really done a nice job in their run game. And the other thing people have to realize is the Giants, just like we have been without Quan, without our starting middle linebacker, they've been without their middle linebacker, B.J. Goodson, number 93. and he's now cleared to play. He had 18 tackles in week one against Dallas, and then he's been out the last 2 weeks. So I think those are the players that that you need to watch as far as their run defense.
All right, Nate has a question. He says, first off, I'll be driving down from upstate New York for the Patriots game, so I hope it's a good one and the Bucs get a win. But my question is, do you do any self-scouting? For example, what percentage of the time you're in 11 personnel on third and long, and will you call plays a certain way to keep future opponents on their toes?
Yes, of course. We spend a ton of time on self-scout, and, you know, the way these video/computer systems are set up now, they spit out self-scout reports all the time. We have different coaches assigned to different areas of self-scouting our team as well. Now, most teams in the NFL are, when you get past third and two, most teams in the NFL are going to be in 11 personnel, meaning three wides, one running back and one tight end almost 100% of the time. But the thing you're self-scouting more so than the personnel on third down is what your protections are, who you're throwing the ball to, you know, do you have any tendencies by formation or by motion, that type of thing.
All right, we've got our next caller. Matthew from Land O'Lakes has a question about creating the playbook. Go ahead, Matthew.
Hey, Casey. Hey, Coach. I hope you guys are doing well. Thanks for taking my call, and I look forward to us kicking some giant butt on Sunday. But my question is, guys, and Coach Cutter, is every year you have a playbook. Do you create that before the season starts based on the team that we're going to play, or, you know, how do you refresh it? What comes into your brainchild, if you will, if you could talk a little bit about that?
And sure. So our playbook, our master playbook, is humongous. I mean, our playbook, I got an assistant coach, Andrew Weininger, who came with me from Atlanta. So my time in Atlanta plus my time here, so we've been together for 6 years. And our playbook is all digital. It's all computerized. And tons and tons and tons of drawings and rules and all the stuff that is the backbone of your playbook. Well, then you've got your basic plays that you change the formations, you change the shifts, you change the motions. So we have those all cataloged, and so your playbook is always growing. And you try to get all that stuff called, installed, and practiced in training camp, work on it in some preseason games, and then there's only about 64, 65 offensive plays in a regular game. We only carry maybe 110 plays in any specific game plan. Now, there's other teams that carry as many as 200, but the way you refresh the playbook is you're looking at how other teams attacked your opponent, and then you're saying, okay, New Orleans, for instance, might have attacked a team that we're playing this week, and here's what New Orleans did. You're looking for teams that have similar offensive styles, and then you're maybe tweaking some things in your playbook for that week. So we have a master playbook, and then we give the players a weekly playbook that's game plan specific to that particular game.
That's awesome. That was a great question. Toby wants to know, can you talk about the importance of not underestimating an 0-3 team?
Sure, I sure can. First of all, nobody can underestimate anybody in the NFL. I mean, that's the NFL. I mean, almost every game comes down to a one possession game. And, you know, I think maybe fans have a tendency to underestimate more than players do, because the players are watching the film and the players are seeing, hey, this, Pierre Paul has 51 career sacks and 12 forced fumbles. And Olivier Vernon had 12 and a half sacks last year. And, Odell Beckham made a acrobatic catch. I mean, they're seeing those plays on tape, and they know that those, you know, they got a lot of really good individual players, and for whatever reason, they haven't been able to break into the win column, but that doesn't mean they're not a good team or they're not capable of winning. And, you know, so the records, especially at this point in the season, early in the season, the records really don't come into play, and I don't think you know, we would ever underestimate anybody.
All right, we got a question from Khalid. I think I said that right. He says, how do you think Doug Martin is going to feel and look whenever he does get to come back?
Well, that's a great question, and unfortunately I don't have a good answer, because when a player is suspended like this, we're not allowed to have any contact, or Doug can't be in the building. So, you know, I think Doug is a very highly motivated to come back and prove his doubters wrong. He was in excellent shape when he left. You know, I'm expecting Doug, when he comes back, when he gets back, when he's allowed to come back in the building on Monday, to look the same way as when he left. I know he had a plan in place to do that, but I really don't know. And, you know, we haven't been able to have any contact with him.
All right, Doug wants to know, ironically, Doug is the name of the next person who asked the question, how many plays did you send to the NFL this week for clarification, and how many of those involved targeting?
We sent 5 or 6 plays to the league, and only the one involved targeting. But, you know, that's typical. Sometimes we send plays to the league, not just because we disagree, but because a lot of times that's how we learn more. Like, we learn how the director of officials is coaching his officiating crews to officiate certain things. And so sometimes if we're a little gray on how they're officiating a certain thing, say offensive pass interference or, you know, illegal contact for DBs, we'll send in 4 or 5 clips and just say, how do you see this? We think this looks like this. How do you see it? And, you know, the NFL is great about that. And then we can then pull those plays up and show them to the players. The NFL sent out a video just this week on legal hits on defenseless receivers. And so it was a really nice training tape for your safeties, especially to show them, you know, how players are trying to take their head out and hit with the shoulder. So I think the league does a really good job in that area. And I think, even though I myself have been mad at officials before, you know, I think any of us can realize what a tough job, you know, those officials have to call everything in real time. And they're right way more than they're wrong.
I'm sure they're happy to hear a head coach say that for once. And we have a related question to that. Jack wanted to know, do you scout the referees and know who it's going to be? And does that affect any way that you tell your players to do certain things if you know one referee tends to call things tighter than another?
Yes, we do. That's an excellent question. And that's something I picked up from Mike Smith when I was in Atlanta. Mike Smith has been charting the officials in this league for over 10 years, and we have a database on officials. We know who likes to call what. They keep stats on all this. We go over it every Friday with our players, so we just went over it this morning in our team meeting, and we know what officials have a higher tendency to say call offensive holding or roughing the passer, offsides and stuff like that. It either is or it isn't. That there's no gray in that, but there's other stuff that their officials have tendencies just like players and just like coaches do.
All right, we still have a ton left on Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Koetter. Keep sending in all those questions. Use that hashtag BucksRadio on Twitter or the feature section of the Bucks app, or you can call in. So don't go anywhere. Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Koetter, brought to you by Frontier Communications. This is Buccaneers Radio.
You're listening to Buccaneers Total Access, brought to you by Frontier Communications with head coach Dirk Koetter and Bucs insider Casey Phillips on Tampa Bay Sports Radio, 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
Welcome back in Tampa Bay to Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Koetter. We're about halfway through our show here, which means there is still plenty of time for you to get all your questions in for coach. You can use that hashtag BucksRadio on Twitter or do the feature section in the Bucks app or hit us up on the telephone. All right, we got a question from Dennis here, and he says, coach, what are the team helmets behind you we saw on Hard Knocks?
Those helmets are every stop along the way, where all the teams that I've been had the fortune to be a mostly assistant coach, but a couple of head coaching stops in there. So
all the places I've been fortunate enough to be a coach.
All right, we got a question from Paul who says, Coach, I love the culture and competitiveness you've brought to the team. My question is, when watching the game with my father, we were wondering if we can expect more exotic blitzes to be deployed if we're not getting pressure with the D-line. I'm of the belief if you can't get there with four, you can rush five. Can't get there with five, you rush six, et cetera. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that philosophy. Go Bucks.
Yeah, I think both myself and Mike Smith, we both agree with that philosophy. And, there have been times, though, that, you know, we've been rushing five and been rushing six and have not got home, you know, haven't made it home. Keenum did a good job getting the ball out of his hands last week. And, we didn't – I said a couple times in the press conferences this week, you know, defending the pass, it's a combination of the pass rush, the over-the-top coverage, and the intermediate coverage. And they all work in concert with each other along with the disguise. And we just didn't do a good enough job matching all those things up. And, you know, Smitty talks about it all the time. When we got on that hot streak late last year, when we had those wins in a row, our defense was clicking on all cylinders in that respect. But, you know, for whatever reason, we weren't able to do that on Sunday against the Vikings. And trust me, we beat ourselves up searching for the reasons why. You know, why can you do it on a certain game but not on another game? And those aren't always easy answers to find. But we're back to the drawing board, and you know, we're gonna give her our best shot again this Sunday.
Tad wants to know, is there a plan to get Howard more involved in the passing game? Love the dual threat of him and Cam out there.
Yeah, I know that there's folks that are disappointed, probably mostly OJ's family, that he only has two catches in two games. But again, OJ's benefit is much bigger than meets the naked eye, because he gives us an extra blocker that most tight ends in the league can't provide. And, you know, because we do have Mike Evans, we do have Deshaun Jackson, we do have Cameron Brate. Right now, you know, we don't need OJ to be as big a threat. That doesn't mean he can't or he won't. And, we got a lot more, 14 more games to play, and we would love to get OJ more. You know, we had some plays that we were trying to throw it down the field to OJ. Cam's touchdown was an example of that. OJ was the number one receiver, and the safety covered OJ, and that's what opened Cam up for the touchdown, and Jameis made a really nice throw. So we understand that we need to get the ball to OJ more often, but, you know, you don't win games by how often you get the ball to a certain guy. We need to do what it takes to win games, and, you know, last week we just weren't good enough in all areas, and obviously that starts with me.
Zach wants to know, which areas of the field itself does Jameis excel or struggle with?
I don't think there's any areas of the field that are higher or lower. I mean, it's a team thing. I know that a lot has been made about our red zone numbers. You know, we're sitting at 50% right now red zone after two games, and our goal is 60% touchdowns in the red zone. I don't think two games is enough of a sample size, but yeah, I don't think there's an area of the field. I think Jameis can do, you know, I think Jameis can do it all. You know, we have to play better around him, and you know, he's the guy that's making the hard decisions in real time. I mean, that's why it's the toughest position to play, because he's touching the ball every play. And trust me when I say to the fans out there, our quarterback position is in good hands. I was watching a little bit of the Thursday night game last night, and you got to remember, Aaron Rodgers, he sat and watched Brett Favre for 3 years. Tom Brady, who most people would say is as good as anybody in the league right now, I mean, he sat and watched for a few years before he got in there and played. Jameis he's 23 years old, and He's loaded with talent. He's smart as they come, and he's gaining experience all the time. And not all experience is positive. I mean, there's there's bad things that happen. And I think if all of us think about our jobs, you know, are we better at our jobs in year three or year four? Or, shoot, I've been coaching football for 30-something years. Some people would say maybe I'm getting worse. But most of us get better with experience, and Jameis will too.
Chris wants to know, do you have a mantra each week? And if so, what is this week's?
Yeah, we do. We do. We have different themes that we use, and you know, I hope the fans can understand that that's something that I try to protect. I mean, you know, the more people that know that on the outside, then, you know, when it doesn't work, then we're criticized and we should have been something else. So, you know, there's some stuff that just kind of has to stay inside the locker room. And I think if you've played a team sport before, you understand that. I mean, heck, I'm doing this show every week because I want to connect with the fans. I think that's important. But I also think that we don't have to tell you every single detail. I mean, there's some stuff we got to kind of keep to ourselves.
That's totally fair. All right, Tony wants to know, what is the most misunderstood part of play calling?
That's a good one right there. You know, the most misunderstood part of play calling is time and score. You know, whatever happens in a game when you lose, and nobody likes to lose, and we lost last week, but when you lose, everybody's got the answer, right? I mean, everybody's got the answer. You should have ran it more. You should have passed it more. You should have got the ball to this guy more. You should have got it to that guy more. And, you know, that's a lot easier said when you're sitting on the sofa drinking a couple cold beers. Heck, I'm undefeated when I'm sitting on my couch. But you know, when I'm second guessing play callers and all of the games I'm watching, college games or whatever. But there's a lot more to it when the clock is running and the play clock is running, and there's just a lot more to it. I mean, time and score factor into it, and as a play caller, especially as a head coach, as a play caller. I mean, you have the best pulse of the game and where your players are. The bottom line always is trying to win the game, not going for stats or how many touches a guy gets. Sure, that stuff's all nice, but the object is to win the game.
April says, Coach, huge fan of both you and Smitty. I was wondering if you feel like the energy in the locker room has changed. Seems like last week the energy was a little bit different than it had been.
No, I don't think so. We have a really good locker room. We have excellent leadership with our players, and you know, we had a day where we weren't good enough. And again, we're not making excuses for it. I'm not making excuses for it. I mean, I stunk. We stunk. We weren't good enough, and we have to own that. But the only way you do anything about it is you come out and do better this week. You can't sit there and mope around about it. We just got to make our corrections and move forward. You know, there's times on the road where if you get behind on the road and the crowd can really get in the game and overwhelm you, that sometimes your mistakes mount up. But this is pro football. We're supposed to be above that. Now, with that said, I sure would like it if come Sunday and come next Thursday night that we make it really tough on the other team's quarterbacks by how loud it is, and I hope our fans are really into it because it does help.
On a related note to that, Aaron wanted to know, how loud was the Minnesota Stadium now that it was your first time in there, and how did it compare to some other ones in the league that are considered the loudest?
It was loud. It was loud. I wouldn't, you know, all those dome stadiums, New Orleans, Atlanta, Arizona, when the crowd's into it, any place when you, anytime you got 70,000 people anywhere and they're into it, it's loud. And for any of our fans, I talk about this all the time. Ray J, last year at home against Seattle, against New Orleans, against Carolina, it was loud. It was loud, and our crowd played a factor. So, you know, it was pretty loud in Minnesota, but that, you know, that wasn't the reason we got beat like we got beat.
Zachary says, could Justin Evans play slot corner in a way of working in some more reps for the rookie?
Yes, excellent question, and you know, that's something that we've been trying to work on. You know, the thing that's probably just put Justin behind as he missed so much time in the off season. But Justin Evans is going to be a good football player, and you know, I think his role will do nothing but continue to grow. And I think there are what a lot of teams do is they have their nickel package, and then they have like what they call maybe a big nickel that they play more on first and second down against three wide receivers. And I do think that Justin could fit a role like that.
All right. We also have a caller in now. Lee from Newport Richey wants to know about breaking down film on the sidelines in game. Go ahead, Lee.
Hey, Coach. First off, we made it out to some of the practices, and you were super personable to the fans. Want to thank you for that, and just appreciate what you do for the team. I had kind of an unusual thing that I noticed. Sean McVay for the Rams, after the offense finished, went over and was breaking down film with his QB like an offensive coordinator. I wondered if that's something you would consider doing, or is responsibility towards the defense too much to kind of do that? Because I hadn't noticed any other head coaches do that.
Yeah, I noticed that as well when they were on TV. And obviously, I used to be the guy that did that with Jameis and with all the quarterbacks when I was a coordinator. But now Mike Bajakian does that. Mike Bajakian, our quarterback coach, goes over all the stuff with Jameis. And the thing you got to remember, we're all connected via those headsets. And on my headset, I have two lines. I have one line with the offensive coaches and one line with the defensive coaches. So, you know, a lot of times when you're in between series, there's a TV timeout, and I have a Surface tablet, and I'm looking at the plays, and I might say to Mike, hey, Mike, on that third play, show Jameis this or show Jameis that. And then a lot of times if you watch, I'll scroll through the plays, and then I'll walk over to where Jameis and Mike and Ryan Fitzpatrick are, and I'll say, hey, Jameis, look at this. Did you see this? But I also think it's important that the head coach is listening to the defensive calls and into the game on defense so you know as a head coach what to look for from a penalty standpoint. There is a time last year where I was spending too much time with the offense and there was a penalty that we should have accepted, and we ended up declining it. That was my fault. You know, when to use your timeouts. You know, I feel like sometimes I can actually looking at what the opposing offense is doing. Sometimes, rarely, I could offer something to the defensive coaches that might be of some assistance. But I think as a head coach, you got to be listening to both sides.
That's really interesting. All right, we still have one more segment coming up here on Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Koetter. So this is it. Last chance to get those questions in. Use that hashtag BucksRadio on Twitter, the feature section in the Bucks app, or you can call in. Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Koetter, brought to you by Frontier Communications. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Koetter now continues. Brought to you by Frontier Communications on 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
Welcome back in Tampa Bay. This is our final segment here of Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Koetter. Last chance to get those questions in. Send them in on Twitter, hashtag Bucs Radio, feature section of the Bucs app, or you can call in. All right, we have a question from Chris here. Why don't we ask to be the receiving team more when we win the coin toss?
Well, we do sometimes. You know, that really just comes down to a choice based on who we're playing. If we do win the toss, if we'd rather put our offense or our defense out there, and we've done both. We've done both. We've taken it and we've deferred. There's really no science behind that. I mean, that's just sometimes a gut feeling that I talk to with a couple of the coaches, and we make a decision.
Kurt asks, what's the recovery process usually like when playing on Sunday, knowing that the players will have to turn around so quickly?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, because you've still got to get your game plan stuff in. So on a Thursday night game, you know, the players have such a short recovery. What really the next day, Monday, is really like a Wednesday, and Tuesday is like a Thursday, and Wednesday is like a Saturday, and now you got game day. So we bring the players back in late Monday afternoon and have some meetings. We don't even We don't even have time to go over the film of the previous game. I mean, maybe a few clips of it, but we get right into the next team and we do a walkthrough Monday night. We don't practice in shoulder pads at all during that week, kind of a jog through on Tuesday. So when the players, when they're not in meetings and they're not actually going through the schemes that we're going to run on a Thursday night game, you know, they're getting in the cold tub, getting in the hot tub, getting in the cryo tank, getting massages, getting with the chiropractor, getting the ice and stem, anything that the trainers recommend. So the players are pretty much Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the players are battling, trying to get their bodies back as well as learn the game plan for that week. And then Thursdays, you know, because you don't play till late, till 8:30 at night, you've got a little bit more recovery time on Thursday, but you're not doing anything physically. You're just doing some more mental rehearsal up until game time.
All right, and Jake wants to know, how do you walk the line of coaching aggressiveness versus bad decisions with Jameis, especially after a week like last week?
Yep, another good question. And, you know, Jameis, part of what makes Jameis who he is that, you know, he's gonna take some risks. And those risks have paid off for us in a positive way many times. Sometimes they don't. And so, you know, you're always just trying to manage decision-making and encourage good decision-making. I mean, every quarterback's going to underthrow a receiver. On that first interception last week, we had Deshaun open. Jameis underthrew it. I mean, he's not the first or the last quarterback that's ever going to underthrow or overthrow, miss a receiver. So those things are going to happen, you know, when you're throwing the ball 40 times a game. Those are going to happen. But what you're trying to minimize is decision-making. And, you know, when you're making good decisions, when Jameis is making good decisions, he's a really good quarterback, and I think he'll continue to get better and better.
All right, we've got our next caller. Mike from Tampa has a question about the direction the team is moving. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, Coach Sutter. It's not really a question. I know it's more of a question segment. I've been a Bucs fan my whole life, born in Tampa, and I've never been more excited about the direction the team's headed, and couldn't be happier with you as our head coach and Jason Light as our GM. And I just feel like you guys are doing a great job, and I'm just completely satisfied with the way that we're headed.
Yeah, I really appreciate you saying that, Mike. I'm sure it's hard to say that the way we played last week. And I can assure you that when things go like they did last week, nobody's harder on us than we are on ourselves. I mean, we just don't feel good about it. And, you know, we can't wait to get out there on Sunday and try to get that bad taste out of our mouth. And, you know, we took a little bit of a step back last week, but if you've been in athletics at all in your life, you realize that, you know, the road to success isn't always a straight line. You know, there's a lot of curves in the road, and we hit one of them last week, and we got to keep working.
All right, Sam wants to know, I love the toughness of Noah Spence, but do you think sometimes he should pump the brakes to be healthier for the rest of the season? We need a strong pass rush.
Yeah, his toughness is very impressive, but, you know, there's no pumping the brakes on a player like Noah. I mean, he certainly has no control over his shoulder if it pops out or doesn't pop out. I mean, the fact that he's able to play through it now with a harness, and he did that all last year. I think players are going to play the way they play. You know, we say Jameis is going to play the way he plays. You want players that have extreme motors, and that's the thing, in my opinion, that makes Noah Spence a good football player. You know, unfortunately, we were missing him for a while last week while he had to go in and get that shoulder. It came right back in. He got his strength back, and he's looked really good in practice this week. He's had a good week.
All right, Kyle wants to know, do you think it's actually more scary facing an 0-3 Giants team because they're going to be desperate?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. You know, I don't know if anybody's desperate, but I'm sure that, you know, the Giants realize that, you know, they got all those stats based on what your record is after 2 weeks, after 3 weeks, after 4 weeks. But the way we look at it, both teams are desperate every week. You know, I know that sounds weird, but I mean, really, it's every week you need it. You need it. Like, you know, we're playing at home. We need it. we got beat pretty good last week. We need it. The Giants, same way. They were way down, made a great comeback to tie up the Eagles, and then, you know, lost on a 61-yard field goal. So they need it. We need it. So let's get 65,000 Bucks fans over there at Ray J and help us get it.
All right, I like to hear that, Coach. Thanks for being with us, and thanks to all of you out here. That's been Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Cutter, brought to you by Frontier Communications. This is Buccaneers Radio.